May my words be in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. What had led up to this remarkable exchange between Peter and Jesus? Let us join the disciples in the early hours of that morning in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. The day before had been amazing. Even though Jesus sought solitude to pray, he had been followed by thousands from the nearby Galilean villages and towns. He responded to their needs, healing many. As evening drew on, he miraculously met their needs again when he fed them all with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes of 1 small boy. And then he had ordered the disciples to go away ahead of him to the other side of the sea. Only after dismissing the crowds could Jesus find the solitude he needed for prayer. We can imagine that as they set off, the disciples were full of excitement and wonder at all they had witnessed. Perhaps they were also disappointed that Jesus had sent them away, when what they wanted most was to remain with him, to go over what had happened. So many questions must have been running through their minds. These questions are soon driven from their minds as a sudden storm hits. They're all experienced, well, most of them are experienced fishermen, and they need all their skill and courage to prevent the boat from sinking. As the wind tears through the rigging, the waves threaten to swamp the boat. The darkness grows more intense, and they fear for their lives. They lose count of time as they battle on, until at last the sky begins to lighten. Still, the storm does not abate. Suddenly, they look back and see the figure of a man coming towards them, walking on the water. Their fear now turns into sheer terror. Small wonder that they think they are seeing an apparition. Jesus immediately responds to their cries of fear by identifying himself with the words, "It is I, don't be afraid." Imagine you are in that boat. Jesus has identified himself. You have seen before his power over wind and weather when he calmed a storm. He's coming towards you. What would you do? Would you sit and wait? Or would you, like Peter, say, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water"? I suspect that I would have remained where I was, hanging on like grim death, waiting for Jesus to reach me. I might even have tried to stop Peter from leaving the boat. Would that have been wrong? I honestly don't know. So I need to examine what there is to learn from Peter's action. He didn't need to get out of the boat. Jesus was coming towards him. But Jesus had said, "Come." He had said that it was possible. The seemingly impossible was possible. How often in our own lives do we face choices about our way forward? Perhaps we find our highly paid job situation is stressful in the extreme. But can we risk a career move that would take us back to school? This is just one example of letting go of a situation which, despite difficulties and dangers present in it, offers a certain degree of security. A television drama I watched recently presented another example. In it, a woman in an abusive relationship agonized over the way forward. Should she break free and try to find a new life? It takes real boldness and courage to break free, to step out of the boat in such situations. Is it possible that God might be calling you to change something in your life which seems unchangeable? Is he calling you to take a risk? There's a popular chorus which is often sung with great gusto. It has a catchy and upbeat tune, and it begins with confidence and assurance. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. It continues with a witness. I am not afraid, I am not dismayed, for I'm walking in faith and victory. It ends with a challenge. Come on and walk in faith and victory, for the Lord your God is with you. Peter was certainly bold and strong as he left the comparative security of the storm-tossed boat to venture into danger. He set out to do what the Lord had said could be done in that single word, come. Because he had received reassurance from Jesus that he need not be afraid. This is not the there, pat on the head type reassurance given when the fear is more in the mind than in a really physically threatening situation, perhaps like a child waking from a bad dream. No, this is reassurance that trusting in Jesus drives out fear in real, even life-threatening situations. The seemingly impossible can be done. I'm sure that you, like me, have been deeply moved and impressed by the emergency services as they respond to the coronavirus pandemic. Often their representatives speak of the intensive training which they had undergone and how it stands them in good stead when facing the dreadful reality of each day. Keeping focused upon that enables them to carry out their duties. Jesus, his truth, his word, is reliable, trustworthy, and consistent. Keeping focused upon him enables us to find security. So Peter walked on the water towards his Lord and Master. He did really well. He walked on the water. Until, that is, doubt entered into his mind, and he saw the storm-lashed water beneath his feet. It was then that he started to sink beneath the waves. It was then that he lost the power that he had called upon, the power of Jesus. But then his cry was answered by Jesus' saving, outstretched hand towards him. It is this outstretched hand of Jesus that gives us everlasting reassurance that when we step out into the unknown and take a risk to follow where the Lord leads us, we will be safe and secure. Some 17 years ago, I vividly experienced the storm-tossed seas of life. I apologize if some of you listening today have heard me speak of this before, but it seemed right to me to give my personal witness again. One day in October 2003, I was sitting outside a consulting room trying to come to terms with a diagnosis of locally advanced breast cancer. I felt numb. I knew I should pray. But pray what? I just had no words. After what seemed an eternity, a picture of the tax collector in the temple praying came to me. And I found myself saying his words, "Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner." As I repeated these words over and over and over again, I experienced an extraordinary sensation, a little like something washing through me from head to toe. This was followed by an extraordinary sense of peace. At that moment, I knew I was healed. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not claiming that I was cured of the cancer. But I was healed in the sense that my fear was completely driven out, completely conquered, never to return in the weeks and years that followed. 18 months later, I wrote these words. "By far the most telling element in my life is the certain knowledge that I am not alone, and that all will be well in God's plan for me, whatever that may be. Each day, I know that I am being healed in the sense that I am at peace. Each day, he takes away my fears, and for the very first time, I can identify with St. Paul's reference to rejoicing in our sufferings in Romans chapter 5. I am privileged to be surrounded by prayer in my family and church. I am content to leave all thoughts of what if, and if only, and why me, on one side." How are we affected by the trials we undergo in this life? We may find that we experience illness, pain, injustice, hatred, violence, bereavement. The present pandemic has brought this into sharp focus for countless people worldwide. The real suffering in these situations is what happens deep within us. The self-doubt, the uncertainty, and even fear as hopes are dashed and everything ahead seems dark. Some years after his encounter with Jesus on that storm-tossed lake, Peter, the apostle of hope, wrote his first letter to the early church. It is a letter alive with hope. He describes these experiences of doubt and fear as the work of the enemy, the devil. He calls upon us to be self-controlled and alert. Alert to recognize these doubts and fears for what they are, and to realize that they are powerless in the face of a firm and steadfast faith. Returning to that chorus, "Be bold, be strong." We can often be carried away by an occasion as we lift our voices and sing with all around us. But I wonder, do we always pay attention to the words that we sing? Do we really live our lives walking in faith and victory? I suspect that, like Peter, we sometimes lose sight of Jesus and see only the surging waves beneath our feet. We can rest assured that our subsequent cry for help will be met by his outstretched hand. And this is borne out by the reading from Romans, which we have heard. Paul says in verses 9 and 10, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified." We may not master the art of walking on water in this life, but we can begin to learn it if we are prepared to follow Peter's example. I close with the prayer of the father of a child whom Jesus healed. Lord, I believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Amen.
Jill, I'm going to ask you to come back up for a second. When you pictured whatever your last sermon in St. Paul's would look like, that you ever thought that it would look like this.
Absolutely not.
But here we are anyway, and I know that all the people who will be watching this at home will be willing you on and praying for you and giving thanks for your incredible service to this benefice for more than 17 years. Countless phenomenal sermons that I know have blessed me more than I can say, not to mention your love and support and friendship for the last couple of years. And I'm going to stop now before I start crying and say a huge